Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Today on The Grave Talks, on location at the Sleeper Mortuary, part two of our conversation with owner Tori Westhoff.
As far as buying the building, and you had an experience right off the bat, did you come in and investigate first, or were you even able to?
We weren't really able to. They're like, we wanted to, but we weren't able to. So like, I was basically going off of faith and that alone.
But you did get that one experience.
That
so you
one
knew
experience.
Something. Yeah. And everybody had the experience. It was that
and of
profound.
Of course, like when I placed the offer, I'm like, what if it's not haunted? What if I just made that up in my
Which
head?
Is so funny to me, because when I bought my house, I remember being at the closing going, what if it is haunted? I don't want to buy a haunted house. You're closing going, God, I hope this is haunted.
Yeah. And I will tell you that I don't believe that it's ever been investigated prior to my owning it. I can also tell you that all of the other businesses that were in here only lasted maybe 6 months at the longest. The basket store lasted less than a month in this building. It was a host of things throughout the time. Now, I think the two longest people here after it closed was the owner that I bought it from. He lived here for just shy of 10 years. And then prior to that, there was, I think, a law office, but I don't think that it was downstairs. I think it was up here.
Did you ask the previous owner if he'd had experiences?
I did.
And did he have?
He did.
He did.
He never... it wasn't anything that he viewed as, like, scary or... He said he had one experience here that kind of rattled him, and he was working on the fireplace down in the small living room, and he never saw anything, he never heard anything, but it was just a feeling. He started getting sweaty and sick feeling, and he's like, I got to get out of here, and he did, and it resolved. Now, was it paranormal? I don't know. He certainly views it that way, and
That's what I think. If he thinks that's what happened.
Yeah. Like, the paranormal is very subjective. And when somebody conveys it to me that they believe that it was paranormal, then I tend to mm-hmm. believe them.
Because you got the feeling.
Yeah. He also reported a shadow person up here. Mm-hmm. Their TV room was down in a small living room, and he would see it across this doorway all the time. Like, it was a frequent occurrence. So right here is where he would see the shadow person. I have seen a shadow person on the second floor. I've seen it the day that I got the building. When I was up here, I was doing a live tour on TikTok. I was doing a live stream, and my Stephanie was with me, and we were just celebrating. We went out to lunch. We came back, and we walked into the building for the first time on live stream. I was walking down this hallway, and I heard footsteps behind me. And when I turned, I saw like a black shadow just go that way. Like as soon as I turned around, it kind of happened simultaneously. And I was like, Stephanie, is that you? And she was outside in her car, like getting stuff. And I was like, well, that just happened. That was interesting. But also, in my analytical brain, I'm like, is it just because I'm, you know, got the jitters because this is my mm-hmm. first time in here alone? I have been uncomfortable in here before, but I think it was because of my own jitters, not necessarily mm-hmm. because anything's bad. I haven't encountered anything bad in here, or at least not yet.
And, you know, I've talked to some people who have purchased haunted locations for different reasons, mm-hmm. but it's almost like a little bit of a, somebody told me once that it was like a lab, mm-hmm. for them mm-hmm. because he wanted, also very scientific, he's a doctor. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to track everything and see if he could find through lines and mm-hmm. see if he could find, you know, really study that one location mm-hmm. rather than going to lots of other locations. And that made a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. Do you plan on kind of doing that with this location and tracking when people come in to investigate or?
Mine, from a historical aspect, I think it's so cool when history and paranormal cross paths.
I love that.
Like when you can prove a historical event and a person that you're communicating with now, when they cross paths and they meet, I think that is just the coolest thing ever. And I think in my own brain, it validates paranormal activity, and it validates your experiences. It validates like thoughts and feelings. But my main goal is memorializing the dead. That has always been a huge thing for me. You know, with my books, I go through Find a Graves, and I will upload all of the information that I pay to have access to. I upload it to their Find a Grave so that their family, if they're looking for
Has
it for free.
Yeah.
Death certificates, pictures that I find, anything. I upload all of that stuff to their memorial. If they don't have a memorial, I create one for them and upload all of the stuff. Like even with... I'm still working on the sleepers and things like that, but I will definitely... Actually, when I found these pictures, I went and uploaded them to their Find a Grave memorial so that their families have access to information that I pay for. So preserving legacies so that they don't get lost in decades of newspaper articles is so important to me. And, you know, I think that even with our own mortality, and I would like to think that somebody wants to remember me someday, mm-hmm. and just preserving all of that for people. And there's some really cool stories. Like these were really cool dudes. Like they did a lot of cool stuff. And yeah.
You know, and we've talked about haunted funeral homes and mortuaries before. And it's like, why would you haunt a mortuary if you were already dead when you got here and you're, mm-hmm. you know, there's no reason to be stuck to this place. But there are people, a legacy that was created here. Mm-hmm. So you have to wonder if some of those people who really, that was, my dad was a mortician for years. And so that was his job. And they're very connected to the building. And you have mm-hmm. to wonder if you get some of that here.
And I also think that being a mortician and dealing with dead people, that you have a certain amount of compassion for mm-hmm. humans.
Absolutely.
I mean, you would have to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you don't have to, but I feel like most people do.
Because you do have to deal with people at an extremely sensitive time in their life, mm-hmm. a really difficult time.
Definitely. And just being empathetic for that and holding space for that and just treating these people as if they were still living in a respectful and meaningful way. And I do think that... to answer your question, I do believe that more than the sleepers are here. Mm-hmm. We've heard children here. We've heard a female here. Some of the psychics and mediums that have come through have talked about a mourning woman. Now, I don't know who this mourning woman is. It makes complete sense, but I can tell you that back in the early 20s, there was a couple and they lost their three sons in a 2-day span to scarlet fever. They lost all three of their children that day.
Oh my God.
Those 2 days. And all of their funerals were held here. And then 10 years later, her husband committed suicide. And his funeral was also held here. And sometimes I wonder, is that the mourning woman?
Yeah.
It would make sense. And I mean, I think that sometimes spirits are not bound, not like they have to stay here, but I think that they're drawn to very impactful moments in their
emotional
life.
Moments.
And that would destroy me. Like,
and this was the last place she would have actually seen any of them, even if it was they were already passed. Mm-hmm. This was the last memory, really.
And not only that, but you have John Doe's.
True.
Like people that pass away that they don't have any family. And I mean, there's funeral homes today all over where they have unclaimed human remains because mm-hmm. they have to do something with them. So they cremate them and they're sitting in a closet for 20 years. They don't have family to claim them. And it's yep. not like you can just throw them in the trash. I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, maybe it does, but I would think that typically that's not happening.
I think it would be really interesting to talk to you again in a year or 2 years mm-hmm. and see. Wouldn't that be fun yeah. to see what things yeah. you've discovered? Now, when we're sitting right now, we're sitting in the main, I'm assuming main living room. This is a big size place. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of a church where they have the open room and then the big kitchen area. Mm-hmm. Is that the kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So because it looks like they would be doing potlucks over uh-huh. there is what it looks like to me. Yeah. But so you've got some items on shelves behind us, and I looked up at one creepy doll, and I have a thing y'all know about creepy dolls, and I'm like, oh, creepy doll, and Tori's like, yeah, but that's not the haunted one. This is the haunted doll.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like a cute yeah. little doll in a nice yep. little yes. green velvet or satin dress. I can't tell.
I will tell you, of all the things here that I thought would be haunted, Claire was not it. Like
that doll looks haunted more than that one.
I bought Claire off of eBay for $15, and she was advertised as a haunted doll, right? So I'm like,
she's like a chatty Cathy.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, there ain't no way. And she sat in my house for a couple of years before she came to live here. Now, I will say she has been on some adventures. That's the heater that you're hearing.
We all were like, what was it?
Has been on adventures. She's been to McIntyre Villa. She's been to Malvern Manor. She's been to
She's been all over. And she's adorable. Like, look at her cute little face.
Yeah, like, she came to me naked and like this. So we bought clothes for her. So anyway, I was like, you know what? I'll just take Claire up to the mortuary and she can live there and it's fine and dandy. Like I never had...
Your daughter seems to really love her.
I mean, she
played with her at home. Like we never had any experiences at home. Like I said, now the first group in, the first group that rented on that took reserved a night on January 12th, I believe it was. They looked at her and they're like, oh, the amount of EVPs that come off this doll is insane. And they're actually posted online. It was Spooky Okie came, and I can forward them to you. But so they're not the only groups that have gotten stuff from her. A lot of people have gotten EVPs from this doll when they're talking to her. She's called herself Jackson. She's called herself Hannah. Now the name Claire came from a live stream. Like I was live streaming her. I was like, they say the stall is haunted. I'm not really convinced. And the live stream named her Claire. That's where she got her name.
Cause I wonder, does the string still work?
Yep.
Yes.
Is she a chatty Cathy? Cause she kind of looks like,
I'm not sure what she is.
Can you pull the string? Okay. So she's one of those dolls where the hair comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel bad for her when I do it.
So she doesn't talk by pulling the string. The hair comes up. I thought it was one of those talking strings.
I'm not sure if it says on here, like, if there's, like, a year on here.
There is.
Does it say a year? Oops, her string.
Yeah, it does. 1979.
Yep.
Okay, so she's not too old.
Yeah, and then the guy that I buy a lot of stuff, he goes by Real Ghost Hunter 1 on TikTok. He does a lot of online auctions. That's who I got her from.
Now, she's the one I'm like, that's a haunted doll. Old. She is like 1900.
Yeah, I want to say she's a Bilo doll, but I don't know for sure. He doesn't advertise anything as haunted. She is definitely very old.
She's an
old composition doll, and I liked her because of the composition that she had and how creepy she was.
She's very creepy.
She was not a haunted doll at all, but I just liked her patina, and she's got like the
creepy little eyes that close when she lays down.
I think that she probably had a bottle type thing at one point because of the open mouth. I never did check to see if she like peed or something, but I don't think that they made dolls like that back then. But yeah, so she's just cool looking. That's why I have her. All of this stuff, I like to educate as well. And I like to tell people about my stuff. So this is a vintage Oddfellows mask from the 1920s. Back in the day, the Oddfellows was a secret society, and they would do, in their meetings, they would do whatever they could to mask their identity. That's why you see the additional paint on the face. If you look at
side, that is so creepy.
Yeah, if you look at it from the side, it's still formed to the person who wore it. So that is a secret society.
I don't trust any secret societies that wear a mask. They can't even show their own faces at their own meetings.
Yeah. Fun fact. So this is, so back in the day, before, I don't know if embalming was always the thing that they did, always, but back in the day, they used to have these faces and hearses that would hang like this in the hearse, and they would put flowers in them
to help
mask the smell. That's what these are. So I don't know the time period for these, but that's what both of these are. I have a crucifix from the catacombs. This is just some creepy stuff that I got, just because it fits the patina. This right here, I like to have examples, and I'm still looking for another one, but these are examples of, mourning photography. So this is a mourning photograph, and a lot of times that they would do this to memorialize their dead. This was a kiddo. This is part of their layette, and that is their hair. So this is real.
So it's real hair, and it's really their blanket, and it's kind of like a three-dimensional sort of. It's creepy.
This is an 1800s version of the same thing. So this is from the mid to late 1800s. It is definitely pre-1900. I would say probably 1860, 1870, right around in there. This is a Victorian mourning wreath. So a lot of times that they would make them out of human hair of the person that died. This is not. This is a hand-woven... I think this is a dove.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of bird.
Yeah, you can see the paper starting to peel. But the most classic telltale sign is if you look at the glass from an angle, it's very bubbly. That is from 1800s.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is a Victorian mourning wreath. And this is about a 1910 to 1920 version of the same thing, early 1900s. This is how they would memorialize their dead. So there's a casket under there somewhere with...
It's covered in flowers.
Yeah, and then they would take pictures, and then they would frame them, and that's how they would memorialize their dead. That's a 1920s last rites box, a vintage last rites box there. This is a vintage... And I don't know how old it is. This was given to me as a gift, but this is a embalming fluid bottle. So if you're a researcher, look up Kramer Mortuary out of Omaha. They got into a lot of trouble with the way that they were disposing of people. This is a casket key from there. That was gifted to me.
Do you think as, especially with having some items laying around, do you think as people come to investigate, they'll leave items too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they frequently do.
And I welcome it. Like, we have kiddos here. If people want to bring toys for them, they're more than welcome. In our flower room, which I'll go over here in a minute, that's our most active room in the building, and a lot of people will bring flowers and leave them.
Oh, I like that.
I only ask that they're fake flowers because I don't need dead, rotting flowers in there, although it might add to the patina.
Well, let's look. I want to look at that room, too.
Yeah.
Yes. That'd be cool.
Yep. Disembodied voices here is a big thing. I hear them all the time. A lot of times you hear male and female, and I actually have them. I'll forward a TikTok to
you. Okay.
And I'll show you real quick.
We'll see. Maybe we'll get something today.
And speaking of disembodied voices, I asked Lyman to see if I was cute. And then I heard like a little tiny kid on the like recorder said, "You're cute."
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was a little kid.
Little kid.
So I was setting up a live stream for YouTube because I do live streams on YouTube. When there's not a group here, I'll set up a live stream and I'll go home so people can
watch. They can just watch and see what happens.
So that's what I was doing in here. And when the video first starts, you'll hear an EVP and it says don't go because I'm talking about having to leave to go pick her up, and then you hear the disembodied voice and I acknowledge it.
Be out of this building by 1:30.
Don't go. Did you hear that?
Hurry, because I gotta be out of this building by
1:30. Oh,
I did that. And then the disembodied voice is when I go to put that stand down.
So they just got done with the internet just now. What was that?
And you heard it was a man.
Everybody else heard it too, but yeah,
gave me the chills.
That's what's crazy about this place is so often you pick that up on a recording later, you don't have the whole group of people hearing the voice. That's unusual.
So here's another one. Here's another good example. Same room, the flower room is where that was at. And I was with Travis Wazotsky, and he does Wazotsky Paranormal. And we were downstairs in the basement, and
count to three.
He was trying to get them to set off the REM pod. And I'm just sitting there, like, with my hands in my pockets because it's cold, and I had my head down. And I heard a disembodied voice, and it says, "I want you to go." And it was a whisper, and it was so loud, and I acknowledge it, and we caught it on recorder, too. He didn't hear it.
Count to three, grab the REM pod or that cigarette pack. All you gotta do is touch it when I say three.
So this is just me acknowledging it.
One.
Did you just whisper?
No.
I cuss a lot, so sorry.
That was weird as fuck. I heard, like, what I think I heard was, "I want you to go."
If you want us to go, can you grab that and we'll leave?
Man, I got goosebumps.
That's awesome.
Oh, fuck. You didn't hear that.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "I want you to go."
And then he plays the clip again.
You swear you didn't whisper.
Yeah, I was counting.
Okay, so we're heading up the short flight of stairs to the flower room.
Yes.
Oh, it's bizarre. The ceiling is really low, and I'm 5'2".
Yeah.
Like this ceiling's maybe 6 feet high.
Yeah, that's an old shipping label. This is an old shipping container. It's addressed to Sleeper Mortuary, so that's at least as old as 1960, right around.
Yeah. And?
Do you want me to turn the lights off?
Yes, and
I'll show you how dark it gets.
Sure.
Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable.
So, as we're sitting here in the flower room, who knows who's watching us?
When I was taking pictures in the soundproof room, you guys had already left, and I heard it sounded like toy boxes, like, you know, the blocks or whatever that kids
play. Oh, yeah.
It sounded like those toppling over in the other room.
Yeah, we have some of those.
We have some.
I wonder if they moved.
Yeah, they're the nesting boxes.
Yeah.
And they're actually from a haunted location.
But that's what it sounded like I heard that moved when I was in that room taking
pictures. Yeah, they're right down there.
Oh.
At the bottom of the stairs.
You want to go get them and put them up here?
Oh, I did see those, and those didn't move. So I'm wondering if it was something else or...
I mean, I do believe that there's residual energy here. I think there's a mixture of intelligent and residual.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if you heard that.
Right.
When you're sitting here just having a conversation and just minding your own business and doing your own thing, that's usually like when you hear stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I was so shocked. I was sitting actually right here when I heard that whisper, "I want you to go." It was probably 2:00 in the morning. So one of the people that we think may be in the flower room is Eliza, which is Lyman's wife. But it also doesn't really make a whole lot of sense simply because I don't believe that she, because she was pretty elderly by the time this was built, and I can't foresee her arranging flowers. Now, that doesn't mean that she doesn't in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. I've been told she does not like carnations.
What's that?
It's a flower. But yeah, so I don't know. Honestly, like, I'm discovering new things every day. I don't know who's here. I don't know who my resident spirits are.
Right.
I have an idea, but I also think that we're going to get more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as people come, they're going to bring their paranormal baggage with them, too. And who knows? Maybe they'll stay. Maybe they'll go. I don't know. I do know that Lyman, he ran a tight ship. So he's more of the authoritarian type, but he also has a sense of humor too. So, and I hope that you guys have an opportunity to come and do an overnight and just take it all in and feel the feels and
every single one of you
have the experience. And
I don't think Carol is up for that, but I would.
It's like the feeling, the feels. I've done it like when I was a kid. It's just funny because I'm like, I love paranormal things. I love taking tours of the buildings. I love doing this stuff. But the middle of the night, I don't know.
It's a love-hate relationship.
And it might be because, you know, when I was a kid, going to bed was so terrifying that I've never been able to let that go. So if you have a group coming in tonight to do an investigation, mm-hmm. and when they come in, do they rent the entire space? Can they? Because we've been upstairs to the basement, every place in between. Do they get to investigate every place?
Yes. So with a rental, you get a total of 15,000 square feet. You get the second floor, first floor, and the basement. There is a full kitchen, although we do not have plates and silverware. There's pots and pans that you guys can use that you can cook for your group if you guys don't want to go out to eat.
And the kitchen is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coffee is on the house. Hot chocolate is on the house. You can sleep in any of the bedrooms that you choose. You can shower here. You just have to bring your own towel and toiletries. I don't provide those. But yeah, you have access to the entire building. It's $600 for 10 people, breaks down to $60 a piece.
Yeah.
Anybody after 10, so 11 and up, is $40 per person after that. So it gets cheaper the more people you add, up until 15. If you have more than 15, it's cheaper to pay the event price of $800.
And it's fun because, you know, so many people who investigate like to go to newer locations that mm-hmm. haven't been investigated.
Yeah.
And so I would think you're seeing a lot of those people.
Yeah. I will say that everybody's had pretty good luck so far. I've not heard of anybody saying that they've had a flat night. I know it's eventually going to happen because, you know, they're people too, and they mm-hmm. don't do it because we want them to. They do it because they want to. And we have no control over that, obviously, but so far, everybody seems to have had good experiences so far when they've done their overnights, and hopefully that trend continues. But I had a group from New Mexico come in, New York, everywhere, Oklahoma, Nebraska. They're coming from all over.
It's just fun.
It is fun, and it's exciting. It's exciting for me, because I honestly would. I just love sharing it with people. Like, if I could do it for free, I totally would, but that's not awesome.
Yeah, but that money helps keep this building
it
here,
does.
You know?
It does. I hope everybody comes and sees us and has a stay.
And I'll put a link in the show notes so they can just mm-hmm. click on it to your website.
Awesome, thank you.
But this has been a really cool experience.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's like sitting here in the total pitch dark right now.
Yeah.
it's a little spooky, but I don't get, malicious, malevolent. Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels good. Now, I will say that, like, I myself, like, when you have disembodied voices and things like that, like, I do, like, you get startled.
Oh, of course,
You still get that fear. I guess, if that's what you want to call it, jump scares and stuff. But for the most part, it just feels good.
Yeah.
It feels comfortable.
I'm glad I was able to come over and see it in person. It makes it more fun.
I always love sharing it.
And that wraps up our conversation with Tori Westhoff about the Sleeper Mortuary. For more information, you can find a link to their website in the show notes or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.